needs to be Lord of everything. You can be seated, those of you that are so well-trained and obedience, and some of you just sat down without being told to sit. That's fine, though. You know the routine, right? You know the routine. 2 Timothy again. Let's go there again tonight. 2 Timothy, what are those three words we're looking at today? But continue thou. But continue thou. In verse 14, 2 Timothy chapter 3. We looked at continue thou in the scriptures this morning. Tonight we're going to look at some other things, how we need to continue. Paul mentions it right here in the passage of scripture. And there in verse 14 it says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Father, we come to you tonight and we ask, Lord, that you would anoint this message. Lord, please help me to bring it. Lord, I pray that you just remove me from the scene. And Lord, I pray that you would be exalted and magnified and glorified tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd bless and just help us again to hear from heaven. And we thank you and praise you, Lord, for, again, this blessed book that you've given to us. You've been so good to us down through the years, given us salvation, given us the scriptures. And, Lord, we just praise you. Thank you tonight, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. We pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to be in this place. And we ask, Lord, that you'd, again, just anoint the message and anoint the Word of God as it goes forth. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul said this as he was writing to Timothy in verse 15, two things, the scriptures, but also he talks about salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The next thing that I wanted, I gave you the number one point here this morning was the scriptures, that but continue thou in the scriptures. But secondly, we need to continue in salvation through Jesus Christ. And salvation comes only through Jesus Christ. It does not come from a church or from a man or from works. We all understand that, right? It only comes through Jesus Christ. Grace, faith and grace, mercy through Him, trusting Him, putting our faith in Him, repenting of our sin, repenting of our own ways and works and ideals and all of those other things, and trusting Christ. He's the one that died on the cross for our sins. We can't, another person cannot save another person except point them and show them Jesus Christ from the scriptures. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so the second thing that I want us to look at here tonight is Jesus Christ, the Savior, our Lord and Savior. Continue thou with him. Continue thou in the scriptures and then continue thou through that salvation through faith. Now, once you get salvation, you can't lose it. You can't say, I'm tired of this salvation. I'm tired of eternal life and want to end it. That doesn't happen with a born-again child of God. I've never even thought that. I think I'll just end this salvation. You can't end the salvation that God has given you. You can't do it. You don't have the power to do that. The Lord had the power to save, and He's the only one that has the power to do whatever it is with us that He sees fit. We don't have the ability to end our salvation. He doesn't give us that. That's not an option. When you get saved, you don't have the option to not be saved in the future. Amen. It's not an option with us as Christians. Jesus Christ is the amazing conqueror that we have. There's been a lot of great conquerors down through the annals of history. Alexander the Great, a great conqueror, sucked up all kinds of land and peoples and overcame things. And he was a conqueror. And Julius Caesar was a Roman dictator. And Henry VIII was one of the most powerful rulers of British history. Charles V, another Roman emperor, ruled more territory than anybody before him. Just an amazing, strong power. Napoleon, born in 1769 and died in 1821. Napoleon was that French emperor, became the ruler of almost the entire European continent during his time. Adolf Hitler, as wicked as he was a dictator, and he was the dictator of Germany and ruled Germany with a rod of iron. But the greatest conqueror of all time was Jesus Christ. Amen. The greatest conqueror of all history, was Jesus Christ. He conquered in his life. He conquered through trials and tribulations and difficulties. And I mean, he was out in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights and was met by the devil. And he won that battle with the devil in the wilderness. All kinds of things that Christ went through while he was here on this planet. Trials and temptations and tribulations and his own family, his own townsfolk rejecting him and turning their back on him. And he still overcame all of that. He conquered over disease and he conquered over death. He raised people from the dead. He healed the blind, the deaf. He healed the lame. He healed the lepers. He conquered over nature itself. I mean, calming the storm and speaking to nature and just allowing it to turn water into wine. I mean, grape juice, by the way, grape juice. Just conquered everything. And then finally, he conquered death itself when he came out of the tomb after 3 days and three nights. He conquered. He was the greatest conqueror of all time. Look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. Romans 1 verse 4. Romans chapter 1, verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. By the resurrection from the dead. I'm so glad that we serve a living Savior tonight. He's not dead in some tomb somewhere. He's alive. He's well. He's our mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. But he conquered death. He was a tremendous conqueror. The other thing we see about Jesus Christ is he's changeless. Changeless. He doesn't change from, he doesn't get into some whim like you and I might get into. He doesn't change with the times. aren't you glad for that? He doesn't today get up and you know, in a good mood today, in a bad mood tomorrow, and, you know, loves you today, doesn't love you tomorrow. Christ never changes. There are so many things that change. Cars change over the years. Planes change and buildings change. Televisions have changed over the years. Remember lugging around those great big huge things that weighed a ton trying to carry it from one place to another? Now they're not that bad. Telephones have changed down through the years. Remember we've talked about this. Remember the party lines? Yeah. We had a party line when I was a kid and that was amazing. You know, you could eavesdrop on anybody. Boy, you knew everything. If you were a gossiper, boy, you were in your glory. I mean, you could pick up all kinds of really interesting stuff on anybody. And telephones have come a long way. Now we have these smartphones. Now we have cell phones that we use. And we don't have the party lines. I don't think we have party lines anymore. I think they phased out in the 70s or 80s, I think. I forget when they phased out. But computers, they change, and fashions and designs change, and education, unfortunately, has changed. Not to the better, but pretty much to the worse. Nature changes, and nations and governments change, and the medical field is changing rapidly. Those of you that are involved in the medical field, you know that. Now we've got a vaccine coming on the horizon for COVID-19, And some people don't agree with it, and some people do agree with it, and some people say, well, they're not going to vaccinate me, and there's other vaccinations that you may not agree with, but the medical field is changing all the time. Now, there's some good things that the medical field has done. I mean, Kathy needs a hip replacement. They can go in and pop out the old and put in a new. And as soon as she has her, as soon as she gets the okay from her heart doctor this Thursday, we're going to the hip store. Keep telling her that. We're going to stop by the hip store, and we're going to order the hip at the hip store. We're going to pick it right up. Steve Bonella said for $29.99, he can take care of that. Anything you need in his garage, he said he can do that. Probably Jim could do the same thing, right?
Yes, right.
With the right saw and some zip, some
right.
Power tools, take care of it, no problem. Families change and friends change, but Christ never changes. The same yesterday and today and forever. He never changes. His character has never changed. And, of course, his cause has never changed. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came seeking to save you and I. and every other human being that's never been saved yet. He's still seeking that person to be saved. And he wants to save every single soul that's ever been born. His word never changes. Aren't you glad for that? Yeah. This does not change. According to Psalm 119, verse 89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Amen. It's settled. You can change it down here. You can rewrite it. And we have committees and men that have rewritten this Bible. We've had women rewrite the Bible. I have an Olive Pell Bible in my office, rewritten, retranslated by a woman. And she removed, I think, 40% of the Bible or 30%. I forget what it was. John 3:16 is gone. And so many other verses are gone. And so we have people that rewrite the Bible, but it's forever settled in heaven. You can change it down here, but it's not going to change anything in heaven. And you're going to answer to that blessed book the way that God has it settled in heaven. Because I believe it's going to be opened on Judgment Day. This Bible is going to be opened on Judgment Day. And his schedule has not changed. You know that he's still coming at the set appointed time when his Father tells him. Do you know that Christ is right on time, by the way? He's not like a late airline trip or a late train coming or a late bus. He's not like that. He's not late like maybe you or I might be late. He's right on time. When it's time for him to come, he's still going to be right exactly on the time appointed. Jesus Christ is also, he's the compassionate Christ. His love, we sang about the love of Christ, the love of God tonight. I said this morning, we can't understand the love of God. We don't comprehend that fully. We look at Christ, and yes, we look at the cross, and we can get an idea. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And so when we see Christ dying for us, dying for me and for you, you can say, wow, I'm so glad I'm so glad that God loves us, loves me so much. But we still, I don't know about you, but sometimes I think we take that for granted. We take the love of God for granted. We take everything he does for us sometimes for granted. We take the Bible for granted. Amen. How many Christians today that I know Christians that do not read this book. They spend very little time reading the Word of God. They spend very little time studying the Bible. It's not important to them like it is to other people. His love is a universal love, for God so loved the world, not just America or not just the European nations, or not just Australia, or not this one place or the other place. He loves the entire world. Christ loves the Chinese. He loves everybody. He loves every single human being. He wants to save everyone. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Boy, I'm thankful that his love is a pardoning love. He pardoned me. He pardoned you if you're saved tonight. Turn to Micah chapter 7. Micah. Where's Micah? I didn't write down the page number. Oh, there it is. It came right to it. Hallelujah. Micah chapter 7. Verses 18 and 19. Micah 7. When you get there, say amen. If you're not there yet, say, oh, me. Help me. Somebody help me. I know it's in the Bible. I've heard of it before. This will help you. It's just before Nahum, which is just before Habakkuk, which is just before Zephaniah, which is just before Haggai, which is just before Zechariah, which is just before Malachi, just before Matthew. Go to Matthew and then just go back a few books. Go, well, to my left. All right, Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. Everybody there? If you're not there, just listen. "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever." Praise the Lord. I put that in there. "Because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." Wow, aren't you glad for that? All of our sins have been cast into the depths of the sea. Corrie ten Boom, that Jewish woman that was spent much of her life and her family in concentration camps and saw many of her family members die there, made a statement about that. She says, the Lord casts all of our sins in the depths of the sea, and then puts up a sign that says, no fishing. I like that. No fishing. Once they're gone, they're gone. Don't need to go back and pull them all up again. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 6. Ephesians 1, 6 through 8. Ephesians 1, 6. You can find that without any problem, right? New Testament, Jim. Ephesians 1, 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. What a blessing. Look at verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power. Well, what a God we serve. Amen. The love that Jesus Christ has for us cost Him His life. John chapter 10, verse 11. John 10:11. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. We're sheep. He's the good shepherd. He died for us. A good shepherd was always willing to lay His life down for the sheep. And Jesus said that He is the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. Do you know that Christ is our commander-in-chief? I believe we have a good commander-in-chief in the White House. I don't know about what you believe, but I believe we have a good commander-in-chief in the White House. But Christ is our real commander-in-chief. He is our captain. He is our commander-in-chief. We are to be His followers, and everything He tells us to do, we need to be willing to do it. We need to be willing to go. If He tells us to go somewhere, we need to be willing to go. He is our commander-in-chief, Jesus is. Look at Joshua chapter 5. I like that passage there in Joshua. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. Joshua 5:13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? He said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. You know, Joshua knew, I believe this is the pre-incarnate Christ. I really do. Because where he was, Joshua fell and worshiped him. If it was anybody else, if it was an angel or for somebody else, he would have not accepted worship. But this individual, I believe, was Jesus Christ. Pre-incarnate, pre-Bethlehem appearance of Christ, he received worship. Matter of fact, he said, where you're standing right now is holy ground. Why was that? That's where he was standing. That's where Christ was standing. Amen. Was on that patch of ground and made that ground holy. And so Joshua immediately loosed thy shoe. And he took it off and he did exactly what the Lord had told him to do. Captain, he is our commander and chief. Joshua realized who his commander-in-chief was. That was God. You and I ought to, we need to understand who our commander-in-chief is, and that's Jesus Christ. If he tells you to go somewhere and do something, are you going to do it? Are you going to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I've got a better idea. No, you're not. You don't have a better idea. You need to do what the Lord tells you to do. Our text says, but continue thou. Continue. Continue with the scriptures. Continue with the Savior and salvation. Thirdly, continue in sermons. Paul was a tremendous preacher. Paul, everywhere he went, he just preached the gospel. He just gave out the message. And as we see in our passage here, now he's writing a letter to Timothy, but Timothy was under him in many, many different places where he heard Paul preach. And we need to continue in sermons. Listen, sermons are for your good. I received a huge blessing last week listening to the sermons or the messages by Brother Hardman. And we can continue in those sermons. We need to continue. We need to think about those sermons. Sometimes we'll go back and we'll re-listen, maybe on our website, or maybe you have them recorded somehow. We can go back and listen to them again, or maybe you take notes. I know that you remember more when you take notes. Many of you do that. You'll jot things down. You take notes. Write down the scriptures. Write down the main points. Just write down the main topic, the main thought of the message. Allows you to retain that better. And so we need to continue in sermons. Continue in the sermons that you've heard. Continue in the sermon. When we have somebody come in here, often we have different people come in, missionaries or evangelists, and we hear the messages, and they really speak to our hearts. Many times I hear people say, boy, that message last week, the preaching last week really spoke to my heart. That's a blessing. I shared that with Brother Hartman. I sent him a text today. Say, hey, thank you for being with us last week. It was a real blessing to have you with us. And I believe that our people were blessed and our church was blessed because you were here and you preached the messages. But continue in those sermons. Don't forget those sermons. So often we get so many things going on in our brains that we allow the sermons to be pushed out with other things. You know, we'll go in after a night of preaching and turn on the television and forget everything that was just said practically. But continue. You know, we learn by listening to preaching and teaching. We learn by that. We're going through our Bible Institute here. We just are finishing up this semester here. I just took my last, we had three tests, and I just took my last test this past week. But we learn from that because we're listening to Brother Yates. We're listening to him teach, but he preaches and teaches at the same time. But that is something that we learn. We jot down notes. We fill in the blanks, and we're learning from that. You can learn from messages. You can learn from the teaching of the Word of God. Most counseling. Do you know that most counseling can be done right behind this pulpit? Most counseling. You get a lot of people nowadays, they want to be counseled. First thing I tell them when they come to me, I says, well, you need to come to church. Because a lot of counseling can be taken care of right from the pulpit by you sitting there and by the preacher, whoever it is, me or somebody else. You can get a lot of your counsel right from the pulpit. Because the Word of God is preached, you can. There's something there that ought to be able to help you. And you can get that help you need. You can take that from the church with you. You don't leave it in a church house, you take it with you. And Paul even covers that in the next chapter as he's writing here in chapter 4. What does he say? In verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, Paul says. And so he talks about preach the word, Timothy. Don't be bashful, just preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. That means to be diligent at all time, anytime, any place. And he says, again, what does he tell him to do? He says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. That's the preaching. That's the teaching of the Word of God. Continue in those sermons. Allow the Word of God to penetrate your heart. Allow the Word of God to be, as you teach, learn from that. Don't just cast it aside as, well, I already know that. And preacher, you can't tell me anything I don't know. Listen, I think Brother Dawson, Brother Hardman said it last week. He said, if you come to church hungry, you're going to be fed. Something like that. Didn't he say something like that? If you come to church hungry, you're going to be fed. But if you come and you don't want to hear nothing, and you come with the attitude that you can't learn anything, then you won't. You won't get anything out of it. But come with the attitude that, listen, I need something from the message. I need to hear from the Word of God. I need to hear from the Holy Spirit. I need to hear, God, I need you to help me in some area of life. And I believe that God will do that if you have an open ear. We need to come to church with our spiritual ears tuned into God. Our spiritual eyes, so we can see from the Word of God whatever the preacher is saying, that we can glean from that. Have an open heart so we can receive what God has for us. Continue thou in the sermons that we hear. Continue thou in the teachings and the preaching of the Word of God. Go back a page to chapter 2 of this book in verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to continue with the study of the Word of God. Allow the Word of God to penetrate your heart. This is on your time. Studying God's Word, reading God's Word is on your time. I know that your time is valuable. We all have time. We all say we don't ever have enough time in a day. Yes, you do. God has given us all the time we need, no more, no less, to do what He wants us to do. We just have to schedule our time and be obedient to Him and put the things in our time that needs to be there. And Bible reading and study is part of that daily time that we spend with God. Daily time. Continue thou. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Continue thou in these things. Continue thou in service. I love the message last week Brother Hardman brought about serving with God. Being a workman with Him. We are to labor together with the Lord. Labor, work. Listen, Christianity is not just a time of vacation. It's a time of working. We need to put effort into something. If you're going to do anything, right? I mean, no matter what it is you do, something around the house, something at work, you need to put effort into that to make it successful. Well, Christianity is the same way. You got to put some work into that in order for it to be successful for you. James chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And so we need to just put time in. You know what we do? We learn by doing. We could sit into a classroom all day long and learn how to drive a truck. Right? Somebody could tell us how to drive a truck. And yet, until you get behind the wheel and learn how to operate the clutch and the gas pedal at the same time, and learn how to shift that thing, if you got to shift it, you're not going to learn it completely. If somebody's going to teach me how to run a bulldozer, I won't know. You know, they can tell me what to do, but until I get in that seat and turn the key and grab the controls and learn how to do that, until I get there and do it, that's the best teacher for me. Show me what to do. Right. Tell me ahead of time. All right, you know, be careful of this. But put me in a seat and let me learn. That is a tremendous learner. We learn by doing things. And that's what the Bible says here. Be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. You can hear over and over and over again, but you've got to put into practice what you hear. Yeah. And so continue in service. Do what God wants you to do. Don't ignore what the Lord would have you to do. Do what He tells you to do. Be a worker for the Lord Jesus Christ. He did so much for us. Remember the message last week? It's reasonable. Reasonable that we do something for God because He did so much for us. It's only reasonable. I have those verses down. Romans 12. I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But continue in that. Be a worker for the Lord. Be somebody that says, you know what, Lord, whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do it. Whatever it is, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Volunteer to do things around the church. There are things that could be done. Just volunteer. Say, hey, what can I do? Ask me. Ask Paul. Ask James. There's things around here that you can do. There's always something around here that somebody could do. I know sometimes people are afraid to ask because you know we'll find something for you to do. But there's always something that needs to be done around here. Always. And just a handful of people can't do everything. But again, continue in service, serving the Lord, putting into practice what you know, discipling somebody, passing out tracts. Brother Hardman says, hey, don't forget the track rack on the way out. Now, I got to say, I'm going to puff you up a little bit. Don't let your head get too big. But I do appreciate there's a lot less tracts in the track rack now than there was before the start of last week. And so people are grabbing tracts. I see people grabbing tracts as they're going out. Pass them out. We were out, Kathy and I and little Emily, our granddaughter was out Friday. We had to go to Syracuse and did a lot of running around, and Emily made sure she had tracts with her. And she was passing them out, giving them out everywhere she went. She was giving them out. We were giving them out. She was only rejected one time. One person said, no, thank you, honey. I think that's what she said. No, thank you, sweetie, or no, thank you, honey. At least she was nice about it, but, you know, she tried to give out the tract. God honors that. And we gave out tracts as we were out and about. And so, and Emily would say, no, don't forget the tract. Don't forget the tract. Don't forget the tract. Okay. But sometimes a little kid has to help us out with that, right?
Yeah, right.
But again, pass out tracts. Don't be afraid of the people. Hey, their eternal destiny rests right. upon many times. Right. Are we going to give them the message or not? Be used to passing out tracts. Get used to that. Always have tracts on you. Give them to somebody. There's been times that I haven't had a tract on me. If I wear a polo shirt and I don't have a pocket, I stick them in my pants pocket. They get all wrinkled and crumpled up. And, you know, I put them in my New Testament, but you look at that and they're all crumpled up. But, you know, have them available. We keep them in the car. We keep them, you know, in the truck. I keep them, you know, wherever you go. Have some tracts on you. At least grab one and have it with you. But continue thou, continue in service, continue with the messages, the sermons that you hear, continue with Jesus Christ, continue. Don't be a quitter. Let's be finishers. That's what I think Paul was telling Timothy. But continue thou, continue, just continue moving forward, being the servant that you need to be. Don't stop. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't give out. Don't give in. Too many Christians are doing that today. We say that often. I say that often, but I see too many of it. We pray for those people. Praise the Lord. You got to pray for them. We got to pray for one another. We got to pray for the strength of the Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us. Because we are living in strange times. We are living in strange days. But they're not as strange, I don't think, yet as they were during the time of Paul. Paul spent, I don't know how many years he spent in prison, or how long he spent in prison. He wrote at least four books from prison that we know of. And he never quit on God. At the end of his life in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he's ready. He says in verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. It's getting close, getting closer. Well, you know what? Today we're closer to that day that we're going to see Jesus Christ than we were yesterday. We're all a little bit closer to that final day, that final end. We're closer to the rapture. We're closer to death. Whatever comes first, I'm ready. How about you?
Amen.
I hope you're ready. Death or the rapture, I'll take either one.
Yeah.
It's a win-win situation. Can't lose as a Christian, right? Can't lose as a Christian.
Right.
And if you die, the Lord takes you home that way. Hey, as long as He takes me home, that's all I care about.
Yeah.
Or the trumpet sound. If I hear the trumpet, I hear the shout, and I go in the rapture, I'm kind of hoping for that. I'd like to go that way. That's my preferred way of going, right? But if it's the other way, hey, I'll take either one. Because we're going to see Him anyway. Continue. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Just continue. Just continue. Just don't quit. Don't stop serving the Lord. Don't stop coming to church. Don't stop reading your Bible. Don't stop passing out tracts. Don't stop witnessing. Don't stop giving. Don't stop, you know, fill in the blank. Just don't stop. Be faithful every single day of your life. Just be faithful. That's all the Lord wants anyway. That's all He requires. He requires that a man be found faithful. That's the requirement of every single one of us. That's all He requires. Just be faithful. You don't have to be super Christian. Just be faithful. Faithful in your Bible reading, your Bible study, faithful in church attendance, faithful in your giving. Just be faithful. That's all God wants from us. But again, as Paul is admonishing Timothy, just continue. Just continue. Don't stop. Amen? Amen. Well, that's it. That's all I got. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for being with us tonight. Thank you, Lord, again for the message. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord. I'm so grateful and thankful, Lord, that you don't ever change. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we are thankful for that. I am grateful for that. Lord, I pray that you would help every one of us that can hear this message, that